Shalom, אנחנו קוראים מספר פסח.
Hello, we're reading from the Passover booklet. This letter 72 from Rabban Gamliel is saying, let's say,
Rav, אני לא שומע אותך.
Rav, we don't hear you.
אז אנחנו קוראים בעמוד 261, איגרת עין בית.
So we're reading from letter 72 from Rabash.
רבן גמליאל אומר,
from the second paragraph. רבן גמליאל would say, anyone who did not say these three things on Passover did not fulfill his duty. These are Pesach, Passover, Matzah, unleavened bread, and maror, bitter herb. We should interpret what this means in ethics. It is known that the order of the work is that one should begin, and then comes help from above. It is as our sages said, man's inclination overcomes him every day and seeks to put him to death. And were it not for the Creator's help, he would not have overcome it. This means that only when one wants to work, he receives help from above. However, there is a rule that one receives help only when he needs help, meaning when he sees that he cannot do it alone. Otherwise, the request for help is not a genuine request, because he knows that he can do it all alone. But he is lazy, and the lazy receive no help. As only those who long for the Creator receive help. As our sages said, be as fierce as a leopard, as light as an eagle, run like a gazelle, and as strong as a lion.
This is why they say that a person, and we see it on ourselves too, that a person who begins to study is really yearning to reach spirituality. He runs. And then he participates in everything. Then later, specifically by being on this advancement for many years in spirituality, he sees that it's not so appealing. He doesn't have this urge. He doesn't have the same desire like before. And then he leaves. And cools down, doesn't come, doesn't think about it. Sometimes he comes, sometimes he doesn't. And here, he needs to remember, as Rabash says, if the Creator doesn't help, won't be able to. If the Creator does not help, then he won't succeed. And why does he feel himself in such a stage that he can't, and he's even repelled by spirituality? So that he'll truly need the help of the Creator, because he can't do it on his own. Let's continue, please.
We're continuing in the article. From therefore. Therefore, the order is that the beginning. The order is that the beginning is a state of matzah, from the words matzah and merivah, quarrel. As it is written, when they strove with the Lord, and as our sages said, one should always vex the good inclination over the evil inclination. As it is said, be angry, but do not sin. Rashi interprets, make war with the evil inclination.
He feels, he doesn't feel like it. And it's the evil inclination that's stopping him. It's not worth it. Asking if you're really agreeing to this. And if he falls and falls again, until he really starts to start this war. It's a period of time that's really, you have, it's nothing's weakening the personing. And it comes when he's getting closer to the exodus from Egypt. Yep.
When a person makes war with it each day, but sees that it has still not moved an inch, but on the contrary, it has grown worse, then he begins to feel bitter. This is called maror, the bitter herb. It is as the Holy Ari wrote that at the time of redemption, Israel stood at 49 gates of impurity, and then the Creator appeared to them and redeemed them.
How could it be that the Creator is discovered when you're standing in front of these 49 gates of impurity? And you really don't want it, and you're really disregarding everything. You don't want it. And then the Creator is revealed. Yep.
This is truly hard to understand. How can it be said that before Moses and Aaron came to the people of Israel as messengers of the Creator, they were not so deep in gates of impurity, but only after Moses and Aaron came and they saw all the signs and tokens that were in Egypt, only then did they fall so deep into the gates of impurity? The thing is that everything depends on the sensation. One cannot feel the true reality itself. As our sages said, one does not see one's own faults. And one learns Torah only where one's heart desires. Therefore, he cannot see the truth as it truly is. Rather, being able to see the truth is help from above. Therefore, before Moses and Aaron came, they did not see the truth. But afterwards, when they saw all the signs, they were awarded seeing the truth as it is. That is, they saw that they were at the lowest degree, at the 49 gates of impurity. And then they were rewarded with redemption. That is, after they felt the bitterness, they were able to make a real prayer over their situation. It follows that the Maror, too, is help from the Creator, meaning by Moses and Aaron, and the signs and tokens that the Creator had shown them.
It's to say that there's even greater descents for a person before he comes out of Egypt, where he feels the how bad this evil inclination is, how it's really holding him, how harmful it is, and and it demands that he has to subjugate, that he has to surrender, that he has to bow down to Pharaoh. And only after all of that does the person get help, where he completely surrenders, subjugates himself to the Creator. Then he subjugates and he receives help. And he sees that no one else will help him, only the Creator. And then, with that assistance, he will come out of Egypt.
And then, they were rewarded with Pesach, Passover, meaning that the Creator passed over the houses of the children of Israel. This is the meaning of skipping, called skipping over the degrees. Normally, one who learns some wisdom adds gradually, but here it was the opposite. Each time they would descend lower into impurity, and only when they saw their real state, they could ask of the Creator for real prayer. And then the Creator helped them. This is the meaning of Pesach, Matzah, Maror, which go together. Otherwise, it is impossible to be awarded redemption. The letters of Gola, exile, and Geula, redemption, are the same in Hebrew, and the only difference between them is the Aleph. This shows us that only when one feels the exile, does the Aleph, which is the champion of the world, is revealed to him. By that, we will understand what our sages said. What is Maror? Hasa, lettuce. And why is it called Hasa? Because the Merciful One has had mercy on us. This is difficult to understand, since we understand that an intimation that the Creator had spared us should have been with something sweet, and not with something bitter. But as said above, in order for one to receive help from the Creator, he must first feel the bitterness of the situation. And it is impossible to feel bitterness because one does not see one's own fault. Only through help from the Creator can one see one's true state. This is why there is the intimation of Maror, that the Merciful One had mercy on us and showed us our true state, which is bitter, and then we can be awarded salvation and redemption. May the Creator send us complete redemption soon.
Questions? I don't really see any questions. It's either completely understood, or they didn't hear it, or they're not ready, or do they have other problems?
Rav, can I ask a question?
Because first of all, what is the article talking about? Talking about the work of a person who works for many years in connection towards the exodus from the ego, to really depart from the ego and rise to the spiritual degrees. And then all of a sudden, he really advances and starts to really understand what's going on. And he thinks that really he deserves this exodus from Egypt to rise to the degree of in order to bestow with connection and revelation of the Creator. Then he starts to see that he doesn't want it. He doesn't have the inclination for it, doesn't really want it. And this can happen for months. And he lives. He even comes to study. He does all of these things, but it's all, you know, automatically. Sort of just happening. It's not really appealing. And he doesn't understand that there's nothing in reality. There's nothing that belongs to a person other than what we receive from above. You could be in a nice mood or bad. Whatever happens, it comes from the Creator. There's none else besides Him. You're never in your own control. Nothing like that. In good and in bad, everything that happens with each and every one. And then, when you start to think that you're about to truly ascend spiritually towards this exodus from Egypt, the desire disappears. Not the strength then disappears, but it's supposedly no strength. There's no force to do it. But the desire is what disappears. He doesn't have a desire for it. He feels inside of him. He's even looking inside of him and doesn't feel that he cares if he goes to spirituality or not. It could be 15, 20 years where he was really yearning for it, and all of a sudden he doesn't. I'll just end my life this way, and I'll end it. Both in terms of the ego and in every way. And then he needs to go through the time of bitterness, Maror. Yes, what would you like to ask?
Rav, the state that a person feels he has no strength, it's really seen in today's days that everyone's at home, disconnected, basically. And it seems that the strength comes only from the friends and the ten. Meaning if I don't see the friends and studies, if they don't draw me, then I can't do anything. But it's not the revelation of the Creator.
You're probably not doing what you need to do. You're not encouraging, you're not awakening. You need to ride in all kinds of places and fill the internet with all of the excerpts, with all of our writings. It doesn't matter what. There's plenty of work. And if you're not doing that, then you're really agreeing to be buried. Yes. You must strengthen each other. Especially now that you have time.
What I wanted to say is that specifically this is felt, that the friends are the ones that give me the strength. But here he's speaking about this, that the Creator is giving the strength. What is this feeling that the person feels that the Creator gives him strength? What does that mean?
I need to feel it through the friends. And even though it's the friends doing it, it's not the friends. Behind every friend is the Creator. That's the way I feel. Really, that's the way I feel. When someone that I feel, the Creator's behind this person I'm talking to, and I'm talking to him in this way, and that's really good. Okay, Petach Tikva 18.
No, me is a sham.
Yargiz Adam.
So what is that war with the evil inclination that vexes the one inclination over the other?
Are you asking something or did you just say half a sentence?
I wanted you to explain that one should always vex the good inclination over the evil inclination and to make war with it.
Yeah, that's what I need to do. If the good inclination, what can I do? I need to drop it on the evil inclination so it'll fight with it and it'll win. And it'll control it. Each and every step. And I walk with both of these steps. And that's the way I need to organize the relationship between them. There's no more questions, you see? People are asleep. What's going on? Ah, Hebrew VG.
Ken. Lo shomim. Lo shomim.
Shomim?
Achshav ken.
Here? What is this matter of skipping over the degrees?
A person skips over degrees where he can go through several situations, states, without stopping in each and every state. Okay.
Why do we need it?
Why do we need it? In order to advance faster. I can't explain to you. I'll explain to you if you haven't gone through it and you don't feel it. I'm just saying it in a, you know, very shallow way. When you jump through many degrees. Okay, Baltia. Baltics.
They hear us well?
Есть какая-то разница, когда человек выходит из Египта из какого-то внутреннего порыва, что лучше смерть, чем такая жизнь.
Is there a difference when a person comes out of Egypt, this inner burst, that he is included in the group and feels it as some kind of inner outburst? Or these external circumstances that pressure him out of Egypt, that give him this pressure that he jumps out. There's a, of course, it's all the Creator, but is there a difference between these two forms of coming out of Egypt?
No, there's no difference. And next time, please speak closer to the microphone. Sit normally and speak directly to the microphone. Okay, we don't have anyone else asking questions. Okay, so we can move on to the next article. We will continue reading two opposites from the writings of Rabash. You can find it in the Passover booklet, or you can find it on kabbalahmedia.info, or you can find it in the printed writings of Rabash, volume 7.
Ken?
Yes?
Two opposites. There are two opposites in above reason, in mind, and in heart, which is regarded as, for he desires mercy. If foreign thoughts come to a person, he should remove them from him and not listen to them at all. This is hard work, because Pharaoh, king of Egypt, afflicts them and throws foreign thoughts at them in mind and in heart, as it is written, and the children of Israel sighed from the work, and their cry went up to God. This is one side by which they are rewarded with faith, meaning the exodus from Egypt. And this is regarded as a soul of Kedusha, holiness. On the other hand, a soul without knowledge is not good too. And we need the knowledge of Kedusha, which is called wealth. For there is no wealth except in Da'at, in reason. When the Creator wanted to enrich them, they did not have kelim, the vessels, because everything was for them above reason. So the Creator gave them the advice to borrow kelim, the vessels, from the Egyptians. The taking of the kelim was only so they would be able to receive a filling for the kelim, meaning answers to their questions. But once they took the answers, they immediately returned the kelim to the Egyptians, because they are going above reason. They have no questions, and they took the questions of the Egyptians only temporarily, and then returned them.
Once more.
Again, we are reading from the writings of Rabash, assorted notes, two opposites. There are two opposites in above reason, in mind and in heart, which is regarded as, for he desires mercy. If foreign thoughts come to a person, he should remove them from him and not listen to them at all. This is a hard work, because Pharaoh, king of Egypt, afflicts them and throws foreign thoughts at them in mind and in heart, as it is written, and the children of Israel sighed from the work, and their cry went up to God. This is one side by which they are rewarded with faith, meaning the exodus from Egypt. And this is regarded as a soul of Kedusha. On the other hand, a soul without knowledge is not good too. And we need the knowledge of Kedusha, which is called wealth. For there is no wealth except in Da'at, reason. When the Creator wanted to enrich them, they did not have kelim, because everything was for them above reason. So the Creator gave them the advice to borrow kelim from the Egyptians. The taking of the kelim was only so they would be able to receive a filling for the kelim, meaning answers to their questions. But once they took the answers, they immediately returned the kelim to the Egyptians, because they are going above reason. They have no questions. And they took the questions of the Egyptians only temporarily and then returned them.
I don't know how to explain this to people that don't feel these states, but this is what happens. A person that is advancing towards the work in Egypt, to the true work, towards exiting Egypt, he basically sees that he has no kilim, no vessels, and what to do. He has nothing to work with. He needs the reason and above reason. If he has no reason, how would he go above reason? So he needs these kilim. So therefore, he is of turns to the Egyptians, to his desires that work within reason, and wants and requests, and wants to understand all these things. And only after he receives such vessels does he go above what he sees, and that he doesn't consider his opinion anymore. And when he goes above it, then it's called that he's in above reason and he doesn't care about the reason. He can return all these vessels to the Egyptians, to the desire to receive. He returns the will to receive. And this way he advances. This, it probably comes to us from the third volume of Rabash in Hebrew. I don't know, but according to the style of writing, he really wrote it for himself as a type of a list of things. But we'll continue in the meantime.
לעמוד 285 בספר פסח, מאמר עניין סביבה, גם הוא מרבש גימל.
We will be reading concerning the environment from Rabash, assorted notes.
This is something very special.
You can find the material in the Passover booklet on kablamedia.info or the writings of Rabash in a printed book. Concerning the environment, and he took 600 select carriages. Whose were they? If you say...
Wait.
Michel.
And he took 600 select carriages. Whose were they?
Whose were they? If you say that they were from Egypt, it was already said all the livestock of Egypt died. If you say that they were from Pharaoh, it was already said the hand of the Lord is on your livestock. If you say that they were from Israel, it was already said, our livestock too shall go with us. Rather, it is from those who fear the word of the Creator among the servants of Pharaoh. Thus, we learn that those who fear the word of the Creator are an obstacle to Israel.
Wait, you need to read this again because you didn't understand what he's talking about. Slowly. And he took 600 select carriages. It's written that Pharaoh is running after the people of Israel when they exit Egypt, and how he wanted to catch them. He took 600 carriages, the select carriages. How does he take them? From where does he take all these people? Well, horses, donkeys, camels, all this was there. But where did he take 600 select carriages? How could it be? That's why he asks, whose were they? Where did he take them from? If you say that they were from Egypt, it was already said all the lives of Egypt died, meaning all the Egyptians died. If you say that they were from Pharaoh, yeah, it was already said the hand of the Lord is on your livestock. Meaning, also, it wasn't there. If you say that they were from Israel, it was already said, our life stuck too shall go with us, meaning everybody's coming out with Israel. But rather, he's answering it now, rather it was from those who fear the word of the Creator among the servants of Pharaoh, meaning there were such people there that fear the words of the Creator, but they were the servants of Pharaoh, meaning they were working in order to receive the workers of Pharaoh, but together with this, they were in fear of the Creator. Thus we learn that those who fear the word of the Creator are an obstacle to Israel, meaning that these people that on one hand they fear the word of the Creator, and on the other hand, they're the servants of Pharaoh. They're a big obstacle to Israel. They gave them problems, hate them, didn't allow them to exit out of Egypt. Read onwards.
This means that the primary guard is from an environment of those who fear the Creator. They're Pharaoh's servants. Pharaoh is, as the Ari said, that the exile in Egypt was that the Da'at, the reason of Kedusha, holiness, was in exile. Pharaoh would suck out the abundance, meaning he is the will to receive. They are called working only for their own benefit, and they have no connection to the work of bestowal, for their sole intention is only to please themselves.
Meaning that there are such people that they are under the rule of Pharaoh, the evil inclination, and they fear the Creator, are ready to do what the Creator says, except one thing, except in order to bestow. And therefore, they don't belong, like he writes, they don't belong to the work in order to bestow, since they're all of their work is only for themselves. They're Pharaoh's, they fear the Creator, but at the same time, they're Pharaoh's servants.
Outside, it seems that they are engaging in Torah and prayer enthusiastically and making all kinds of precisions. For this reason, they are called those who fear the Creator. Otherwise, they would not be called so. And yet, internally, they are enslaved to Pharaoh, meaning that their only aim is to satisfy their own wishes and needs, and they have no connection to the work of bestowal.
Meaning everything is done except in order to bestow, except to engage in connection, except to engage in love of the created beings, except bestowing.
Such an environment creates an obstacle to a servant to the Creator because he wants to walk on the path of the Creator and sees their work when they engage in fearing the Creator, and he...
Where do they have strength? Because they're not going against the ego, but they're going in favor of the ego, so that's why they have the strength.
And he is impressed by their zeal, since when they work as Pharaoh's servants, their bodies show no resistance, because the efforts they make are also only for the body. Thus, there is no resistance here at all. On the contrary, the body agrees to give them strength.
Since it all seems to him that he is just progressing and profiting, and next to him is a person that's truly going against his nature, and he has no strength. So he's envious of these people that have strength.
It follows that such an environment is an obstacle to Israel.
to those that are called Israel, Yesher Keo.
To one who wants to be Israel and not among Pharaoh's servants, because the servant of the Creator is impressed by the work of the servants of Pharaoh. He likes the servitude of Pharaoh's servants and is lured after them. Thus, he absorbs their thoughts and intentions and thereby regrets all the efforts he has given in the work of bestowal. Henceforth, he will have no strength to continue the work of bestowal.
We see this with a certain part of friends that used to be with us, as much as they ran away and they say, now we have strength, now we're learning, we're praying, everything is great. Come to us. Look, see where the truth is. As much as we're full of strength, it's the Creator giving us the strength. And we have nothing to tell them. The paths of the Creator are straight, the righteous one will go through them, and the wicked ones will fall in them.
But in an environment of unaffiliated, who are not of the type that fears the Creator, they have no connection to Him. Because he knows that there is nothing to learn from them. At that time, there is no connection of thoughts, because he knows he must not learn from the actions and thoughts of the unaffiliated. Hence, such an environment does not pose an obstacle.
Barur.
Is it clear?
Petach Tikva
2.
Rav, how can we have two of these things at the same time? How can we fear the Creator and work for the Pharaoh?
It's very simple, because there's an action and there's an intention. According to the action, he's working for the Creator, and according to the intention, he's working for Pharaoh. Very simple. Yeah? You can do all of the actions with the body, whatever you want, and who knows why you're doing this. Therefore, it's called the concealed Torah, that we don't know exactly what's happening? For whose sake are you working? Maybe you're great righteous, and you do this because you want to bestow contentment to the Creator, or it could be that you're wicked, and you're paid for this, and you're doing it for the money. It's not a problem. It all depends. It only depends on a person who's doing it. On the outside, it's very hard to discern. Yes?
I'm trying to understand this word, Yirat Hashem, the fear of the Creator.
Yes, yes, there's a lot of people in the world who are doing a lot of actions out of this that they're afraid of the Creator, punishment in this world, in the next world, fear of punishment of the coronavirus, out of all sorts of reasons. There's a lot of such reasons. So what's the problem? I don't hear you.
How do we do it so that there will be fear of the Creator and work for the Creator?
This depends on a person, that he needs to go through these stages, and nevertheless, to be the worker of the Creator because of fear of the Creator. For him, these two things are the same.
How is this the worst? Relate this as the most detrimental.
This is the worst state because a person doesn't know that it's a lie and already he cannot exit it. That's it. Fearing the Creator but working for Pharaoh. They're working for Pharaoh and they think that they're working for the Creator. And by this, they only expect that they will have a reward in this world, in the next world, and for it to truly be, you know, just to have more mitzvot. And generally, all of their work is an action and not an intention. That's it, as if to do actions with your hands, with the feet, with the mouth, as if this is the main thing. Yeah, they are inclined in this direction. And Kiev.
Hello there, Rav. When I write an article, or I connect with the friends in the tent, how can I be sure that I won't be fearing the Creator and working for Pharaoh?
It's not speaking about you. The fear, the Creator, but working for Pharaoh, it's that they do all sorts of physical actions. And by this, they demand a reward from the Creator. Okay, it's not for you. This is truly... I'll show you once these such people. Romania.
What is the difference about this fear that is speaking in the article and the fear not being able to give pleasure to the Creator?
Oh, that's a great difference. Because the fear to bestow contentment to the Creator is you fearing whether or not you're bestowing contentment to the Creator or not. Whereas here, the fear is for the reward. Will I receive a reward over what I'm doing or not?
Petach Tikva 24. I wanted to ask, when it's written, basically the workers of Creator and the workers of Pharaoh, they're chasing him. They're chasing in order to also reach bestowal or for a different reason?
No, they want to absorb the people in order to draw them to their work. They tell you how they left Bnei Baruch and they're on their own and doing so and so action, and we feel ourselves in a great excitement. You should come to us. What are you doing there? That exactly those who fear the Creator and work for Pharaoh. They are exactly in that definition.
Hebrew VG.
Fearing the Creator working for Pharaoh, why is he connecting this specifically to the exodus from Egypt?
Because people that want to come out of their ego and work truly in order to bestow, they feel how that calculation in order to bestow or in order to receive is right now awakening in them and not letting them run away from the in order to receive.
This is the main disturbance, or just one of them when coming out of Egypt?
It is the primary disturbance.
Good evening, dear Rav. Good evening, World Kli. How, with the current disturbances, can we, in the 10, reveal the quality of Moses in order to reach equivalence of form with the Creator?
Just continue and exert to be in the group. If not in the group, then it is very, very difficult, if even possible. I see that you're always with us in all of our studies. Still, needs to be a group that you're speaking with them and you're included with them. Petach Tikva 25.
Shalom Rav, Shomea. Hi Rav, do you hear us? Toda Rabba. Rav, thank you very much.
I want to add something. It's a question I have for a few days now. I would like you to help us to explain why we cannot go back in the old world. Why? Because there are a lot of people who think that they are going to stay at home. Maybe they are going to watch Netflix. Today, Macron said that he wants everybody to continue to work to develop the economy. So, but I would like us to be able to explain why it will be impossible to go back to the old world.
It doesn't depend on us. You're asking about the coronavirus. It doesn't depend on us whether or not we want it. There are things that can be advanced by us in our own speed when we connect to the group and we turn to the Creator. And according to the strength of our plea to the Creator, we receive strength from Him and we advance. That is the path of certain individuals. Zgula, these special people, and it comes from the three lines, the Gimel Kavim. And there is the general path, or the general who work in order to receive and feel themselves working from the ego, and they see it's more and more, and all of a sudden, there's a crisis. There's some crisis that we can predict them. A financial crisis, international crisis, there's all kind of crises, even the ecological crisis, and so on. Now we see there's a very special crisis. We made so many corruptions in nature that we can see it in terms of society. We have been through everything. We had slavery, we had capitalism, communism, been through everything possible, democracy, we've been through it. There's no other way for us to relate to one another. We have these employee relations too, and we've been through all of it, and we've gotten to a point where this processing that we're doing within the society, within the industry, within nature. We're really trying to suck everything out of nature, all of these resources. We've reached a point where it's the end. And nature is starting to stop us in a serious way. We already spoke about the crisis that's increasing, and people are speaking about it more. Everyone's speaking about it, that we're approaching this crisis, and we can't stop ourselves. We can't. We're really in a state where it'd be good to just die. I would feel that I can't change my life. In this way, where we advance and we see that it's a dead end, in every way, at a family, at work, in relations between people, there are international relations, humanity's relation to nature, everything's really broken, shattered. And now, we have this multi-crisis that needs to clean us from all of the bad in a way that we'll really just be killing us ourselves completely. Nature has all of these mechanisms that stop this bad development and start to make corrections with humanity. If humanity is not doing the corrections, then nature corrects humanity. And that's what's happening. So there is this hand of God here, where we start to feel it on ourselves, where the coronavirus comes. And I think, and I've said it many times, that it'll take a lot of time. It's not just for a few days like they thought it would just pass until Passover, Pesach. No, it won't pass. It won't be a year, it won't be 2 years. It'll continue and continue until it corrects us. We will lose all these professions that are completely artificial. We will lose these job positions that aren't necessary. We will change everything by force. It won't be by our will. It'll be out of necessity. Nature, through all of these blows, will teach us what to do. And that's why just say thank you that there's the wisdom of Kabbalah that explains to us what's happening. Maybe we don't really understand what's happening, but we understand a bit more what needs to happen. Let's do what needs to be done, and we'll start to see good results. That's it. We'll start to get closer, we'll build these mechanisms where we're disseminating together, we're helping others all over the world to understand where we are and what we need to do. Don't be afraid, don't be ashamed to tell everything to everyone. It's come time that they will know, that they'll have the opportunity to connect to this same process, or at least to understand it a little bit, to feel it a little bit, to study a little bit. That's also participation. And by that, we will ease this whole process that humanity needs to go through. But it needs to happen, and it will happen. And I'm very happy that it's happening. Yep. Like Bala Sulam says, I rejoice, I'm happy for being born in this generation, that I'm able to talk about the wisdom of Kabbalah, that I'm able to practice Kabbalah and see how it's implemented in our day. That's the way it truly is.
I agree.
100%.
Work in the trade market. He told me, listen, don't panic. It will go down. Don't it say don't sell, don't buy, it will go down, it will, but eventually it will go up. We saw things like that. People are very confident that it's just something that for now is, and what government are going to do, they are going to print more money and give a lot of billions of dollars to cover it. So I understand your point, but I want to understand how I can we can explain that doesn't matter. Even if they do that, this system cannot continue. Will not be able to continue.
I'm
not going to explain to them. It's stitched in a way that they're tailored in a way that's completely artificial. It's like children who play something that's not realistic. And it can't exist. It's like building a house out of sand, and then that sand falls. And you build it again, and it falls again, and you build it again, and it falls again, because it's not real. It needs a real foundation. Leave him be. There's nothing to do. I also have some people close to me like that, that are also in America and in other places. I'm not trying to talk to them. I'm not trying. It'll be what it'll be. What can we do? I'll tell you even more. When I spoke before the crisis of 2009, they didn't believe me that it would happen. They did not believe me. And who I spoke to? With Nobel laureates. What's there to talk about? Who do you have to talk to? With your friends in America who are working at some bank. I understand him. He wants to earn, he wants to do something. It's money that comes from the air, or maybe something realistic. It doesn't matter to him, because with that money, which is just a bit of paper that's not worth anything, he's building some mansion in some island in the ocean. I see that that's what's important to him, but it won't happen. It won't happen. I really hope that we won't go back to those things. Otherwise, the crisis will be more quickly happening. And it's as if we'll come back to normality and it'll happen again. And the crisis will be in a very high frequency every year, every half a year. Really, truly, so. That's why I don't worry. More quietly, don't move over to America. In the end, you'll be more successful than all of your friends over there. Okay? Okay, who's left to ask? Okay, what do we have left there?
A song for the end, maybe?
Okay, let's have the song, and I'm very happy for all the questions, especially from Petah Tikva. But we have one more question from North America 1.
Sorry, Rob. Thank you, Rob. So I want to ask you, our job is to pray for each other. It has always been that we have to pray for each other. We pray for our team and always ask that the friends are in a issue with the Creator. Now, what is the job now for humanity when we disseminate to them? Like, how much they just have to be? I remember hearing a long time ago that humanity just have to kind of agree with our message. What is their work now, if you can explain? I know it's a little late now. Almost 1 o'clock. Thank you.
Our work with humanity is to disseminate, to publish the plan, the reason, anything you want. Everything's open. You can disseminate anything you want from the wisdom of Kabbalah. just so it won't confuse them. So you need to arrange the material correctly, nicely, and spread it all over social media. That's what you can do. By that, you are spreading the name of God, and you'll have a lot of greatness from it.
Shir?
Song?
Adraba, ten belibenu, Adraba, ten belibenu, Shenire kol echad ma'alat chaverenu, Shenire kol echad ma'alat chaverenu, Velo, velo chesrona. אחד על חבר